two young people. That's a blessing. And they always got something. I love our kids. And most of them seem to like me too, by the way. Just thought I'd let you know that. Ah, this page. I got to get some tape. Ephesians chapter 5. Back when we were having a missions Ephesus month, I preached a sermon on stewardship and being, and I was going to preach four sermons in a row, but it didn't work out that way. But I preached one last week, and I preached one way back then, and I preached one a couple weeks ago as well. But I wanted to preach on stewardship, and tonight I'm going to talk about being a good steward of our time. You know, it is amazing to me how much time can be wasted, sometimes not our fault, and sometimes 100% our fault. You may have heard this or not, but last summer sometime, Chris and I took a trip up to see Brandon, up to Saranac, and we were supposed to be there by, I think, 5 or 6 o'clock at night. Well, on the way up through, we had three studs break off the left front tire of my car while we were in Old Forge. So we pulled over, looked it over. The wheel had actually come loose and it broke three studs off, so three out of six. So now there's only three studs on there. And if you know anything about going north, when you go between Old Forge and whatever next is Long, there's nothing. There's no service. I mean, there's trees. It's beautiful country, but it doesn't do you any good if you have an emergency. And there's not a whole lot of space up there to pull off the side of the road. So we found a mechanic. We turned around, we tried to find a part, that wasn't going to happen. So we turned around and we took our vehicle to a really great mechanic, and he's just a great guy and treated us very well. And we parked there. In the meantime, Mike and Melissa brought one of the church vans up to us so we had a vehicle to use. We stopped at a store that we had walked to. We had a sub and chips or something for supper. And we, you know, patiently waited around, and it seemed like forever, and it wasn't all that long, I don't think. But, you know, they had to come from their house over to here, and, you know, everything. So they finally get up there, and I don't know what time it was that we got to Brandon's, but we were supposed to be there before supper, but it was several hours after supper that when we finally got there. But praise God, we got there. And I do think it's because the tires, not the tires, but my brakes were starting to hang up, and the left front was hanging up the worst because I said, it was probably the caliper, so I took the caliper off the car, but when no brake fluid was dripping, you guys know this, was dripping out of the brake line, I should have said, you know, I ought to change these rubber hoses now because obviously there's rubber flaking off and they're not any letting any fluid. So when you push on it, you push the fluid through, but when you take your foot off the brake, they don't release, and so they just cook. And there was times out there the steam would just be rolling off my tires. So it probably overheated, loosened the wheel up, and there goes three studs. And there goes several hours of time just wasted, which I could say that was my fault, but I could also say, well, you know, those studs didn't have to break, so maybe it's not my fault. One way or the other, we ended up wasting. Now, it wasn't a waste. My wife and I had a good time together, and we had a nice dinner together, even though it was a sub and nothing fancy, but it was time together, quality time, okay? So, things like that happen a lot. You ever start a project and you'll say, give me a half hour, I'll be done with this. 3 hours later, you're getting into a good disaster, quagmire, whatever you want to call it, and you know how that works. But we've all done that, and we waste time. So tonight I'm going to talk about being a good steward of our time. When we started these sermons, during the mission emphasis, I talked about Jesus being Lord of our finances. Then I think it was last week I spoke about Jesus being Lord of our talents, or maybe it wasn't last week. Maybe it was a week or two before that. Then we talked about Jesus being our Lord of our love. And so we had one on Sunday morning on true love and a Sunday night message on fake love. And tonight, Jesus being Lord of our time. Every day, let's suppose this happened. I don't know that it can happen with anybody here, but let's just hypothetically say this. You had $1,440 exactly every day to spend. How would you spend it? What would you do with that kind of money? Now, some of you, I've already got the wheels turning, man. You're like, I'd do this, and I'd do that, and I'd do this, and I'd spend it here and there. Well, we don't have that kind of money. But every day, we do have 1,440 minutes. Every day you spend it. You have to spend it all. You can't save a penny of it. You can't save a second of it, I guess I should say. If you don't spend it all, you lose it. It's gone. All those minutes after today, these minutes of today, they're over with. They're history. You can't keep them. They don't roll over. You can't say, well, I didn't use all my minutes today, so I'm going to roll them over tomorrow. You can't roll them over till tomorrow. It's still 1,440 minutes in a day. If it was money, how would you spend it? You may spend it all. You may spend none of it. You might spend it on worthless things because maybe you're an impulse buyer, or you can budget it out and say, I'm going to use it for times that are most important to me, and I'm going to spend my money wisely throughout every day. We don't have that kind of money, but we do have those kind of minutes. We are given every single day, but we can't save them. We can't hold on to them. And once the day is gone, do you realize all of those minutes are gone? You can never get them back. There is nothing that you can possibly do to repeat yesterday. Life isn't like a play where we or a drama, you know, where you work on your parts and you practice and you say, oh, that came out terrible. Or you sing and you say, that wasn't very good. Let's do a redo. Did you know the minutes that you lose today, there is no redo tomorrow? They're just gone. I mean, they're gone. And if you don't spend some time tomorrow to pray, I'm going to tell you something. That chance to pray those minutes tomorrow, it's gone. You'll never get those minutes back. You'll never say, those minutes that I was going to spend in 5 minutes in prayer today, I'm just going to spend that 5 minutes in prayer tomorrow. That's fine, but you lost the 5 minutes, but you did take 5 minutes of your time tomorrow to pray. But what I'm saying is they're gone forever. There are some people who are disorganized in life. I mean, they're just like disorganized. Some people are what I would call lazy disorganized. But we're not going to talk about them because I'm sure there's nobody in this gym that's lazily organized tonight, so we won't go there. Other people, though, are disorganized, but they're busy. I got a family popped into my mind. An older missionary family came home off the field a few years ago, and they stayed with us, and they were constantly busy all the time. But they were spinning their wheels going nowhere, and I used to just get the biggest kick out of those two. They were older. Maybe that's what we're going to do when we get older. I don't know. But we'll find out, I guess, when the time comes. But they were just spinning their wheels, and they were going nowhere. And what it is they don't do the right or they don't do the responsible thing. But they do a lot of things. But the most important things, they don't do. I read this story some time ago. It says, once a farmer told his wife he was going to plow the South 40. The tractor needed oil, so he went to the shop to get some. On the way, he noticed the pigs weren't fed, so he went to the corn crib. The sacks in the corn crib reminded him that his potatoes were sprouting, and on the way to the potato plat, he passed the wood pile and remembered his wife needed some firewood to cook with. After he picked up a few sticks of wood, a sick chicken passed by, and he dropped the wood and reached for the chicken. And finally, when all that was done, when the evening had arrived, the frustrated farmer had not even oiled the tractor, let alone got out to plow the field. All that time was gone. Some people who are frantically disorganized, and here's what happens. They never get to the right thing. They never get to the place where they do the things in life that are most important. Then there are those who are very organized and they're very structured and everything is just so, and they are energized. And you know those revolving doors? It burns them. I mean, they just get upset if they happen to get one hole goes through and they didn't make it there in time to get to that one pass. You know what kind of people I'm talking about? I mean, they are well structured. Most of us live in a revved up world or a revved up society somewhat like that where we want it faster and they find success and they go up the corporate ladder and all those kinds of things. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes, and the problem is, as we climb the ladder, sometimes, and listen to what I'm trying, and you try to connect these dots, but sometimes the ladder is leaning up against the wrong wall. And you pushed and you pushed and you pushed, but you never got to the place where you did the things in life that was most important. So I want to mention three simple things tonight that God gives us commands, three commands about our time. The first one is here in Ephesians chapter 5, where we were this morning, but I'd like to read a couple of those verses again, verse 15. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, he said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The first command that we're given about our time is we are supposed to redeem the time. Now, in this text, Paul linked the right use of time with spirituality. You're to walk wise. If you are a time waster, I think it's fair to say that you have a spiritual problem. If I'm a time waster, I have a spiritual problem. Why? Because it is God who has given us the time to live upon this earth every day. And we are to be good stewards of our time. The word redeem, from redemption. By the way, that is the best word in that text. Now, a lot of the modern translations turn that around and they reword it and they say, make the most of your time. If you redeem the time, you do make the most of your time, but I like the word redeem way better than make the most of your time, and I'll tell you why. Because the word redeem means to buy it out. It means to purchase something. It means to take it home with you so you can and to buy it back. And that is what God did for us. He redeemed us. He bought us back when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and paid our penalty, paid our sin debt. He bought us back so that we can have right fellowship with the Lord. Redeem the time, it says, because the days are evil. Seize the time because the days are evil. We buy some time out of that 24-hour period all the time. Well, what do we buy the time out of? All of the other demands that are put on us. Nobody here uses all 1,440 minutes every day for spiritual things. You have several of those minutes used up in bed at night. Nobody uses even what's remaining after that for all the spiritual things in life. So that's what happens, and we have to redeem our time. All the demands on our life. If you stopped, and I don't want you to do that right now because I don't want your mind to get cluttered up, but just think about some of the things you're going to do tomorrow. Well, how many of you make to-do lists, you know, lists you have to do? Oh, a whole bunch of us, I can do that. I don't have to make to-do lists. My wife does that for me, see, so she has it already. You know, it's like I get one list done and I feel really good, and don't you know she starts another one. That's the way it works. By the way, there are always what things that need to get done. So some of those demands, some of those things are demanded on our life. And then I make personal demands on my life. Usually if somebody asks me to do something, eventually when I'm doing whatever it is that I'm doing, I do get to it, but there's usually several things that we do for several people. But we get to it after a while, but all these demands. Now, in our life, there are so many opportunities for you and I to waste time. TV. How much time do you spend a day on a television? Or movies? Or videos? Or electronic gadgets, or whatever you want to call them? And you know, people get hooked on those things, all kinds of things. Video games, and I don't mean a person says, I think I'll designate 30 minutes out of my 1,440 today to play a video game. Some people will spend 3 and 4 hours on a video game. Do you know that's a lot of time that you'll never get back? And if you were to take those 3 or 4 hours, let's say you did it 5 days a week and add it all up for 20 years, do you know how many minutes that would be? That'd be a lot of minutes. And yet there are people, and young men particularly, that get involved in that stuff. Now, they may not even be bad things. But they might have no long-term eternal value to those things. And so all these demands we say yes to can squeeze out of us every drop of spiritual life until our spiritual life is being taken up by other things that we say yes to. And when Paul wrote this, he said, buy that time back. Redeem the time. Get it back. out of all of those things that you spin your wheels over, he says, seize the time. Use a portion of that time every day for time and eternity. Use some of your time for the Lord. Give it to the Lord. If redeem means that a price has to be paid, how much does it cost? Well, it costs plenty. Every time you say yes to something good, you are saying no to something that maybe is just second rate. I'm not going to say it's necessarily bad, but second rate. And when you say yes to a half hour of Bible reading tomorrow morning, you are saying yes, or you're saying actually no to several other options that could press upon your time right there. So now you bought back, what did I say, 30 minutes, a half hour? 30 minutes of your time to designate it to read your Bible. Now let's say you added another 15 minutes of that time and you say, well, I'm going to pray also today and I'm going to buy that time back. Sometimes inside of me, I have a restlessness, a sense of anxiety to where I have got to get. Man, I'm sure I'm not the only one here that's this way because I know some of your personalities, okay? There are things that I have got to get done. I've just got to get them done. And you just go until you get them done. Now listen, I am not talking about 1 hour on Sunday or 2 or 3 hours on a Sunday. But every day we can say yes to the Lord and we can spend some time buying back some of the time out of our 20 hours, 24 hours for the glory of God. We can all do that. If we only have the same anxiety to do the things of the Lord as we have anxiety to get all the other things that need to be done, maybe our world would be a little bit better off and maybe our spirituality would be a little bit higher. You say no to it all and do things that really matter. In the words of J.I. Packer, I believe, it could have been A.W. Tozer, but one of them wrote a book and it was entitled Pursuing God. And one of them said, you need to pursue hard after God. You need to take some of that time that God has allotted you during the day and you need to set it aside for the glory of God. Take some of that time and redeem it. Buy it back for the purpose of using it for time and eternity. Now here's the problem. The problem that probably happens only all too often. At the end, God gets what's left over. And that's a shame, but a lot of times that's what happens. That ought not to be so. So we have to make a choice. And I'm asking you this evening to begin to make this choice. Do I give God any of my time, or am I going to give him what's left over at the end of the day? And if you are somebody who is driven to get things done, like I am most of the time, it's easy to get to the end of the day and you're spent. And you don't have anything else, you don't have any more to give. So you can't buy it back. You can't redeem it. It's my 1,440 minutes a day. What will I do with it? That's the question. Disciplines of godliness don't fall in line all by themselves, in case you didn't know that. There has to be discipline. We organize to be successful. We organize to get things done. We need to organize if we are to know God because it takes time and it takes discipline. And circumspectly, and I know I mentioned this morning, we have to walk carefully. We have to walk a wise walk. There are a lot of things that distract us and keep us from walking carefully. We could just say no for now to the things of God, and I'll put that off. But listen, we're to redeem the time. Be careful you aren't spending all this time in things that will not last. Redeem the time. Just take it out of your time and just allot it for the glory of God. Redeem it. That's command number one. Command number two. Turn to Romans chapter 13. The second command that we'll find here in Romans 13, I'll begin reading in verse 11 in a moment, is we need to understand the time. Now, I want you to notice what he said, Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Praise God it is, amen. That the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering, in wantonness, not in strife, in envying. Understand the time. Paul is comparing to the return of Jesus here. He says we are living in the night, but our day is coming. Our redemption draweth nigh. And because of this, it is time for us as a church to wake up, because we are in a battle. Do you see all this stuff going on? You know, a lot of this is spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual battle between good versus evil. Not just good and bad. I mean good versus evil. So he says to the people, wake up. Don't you see and understand that we are in serious spiritual problems and there's a serious spiritual need out there? Not just our nation, not just our state, all around the world. There is a serious spiritual problem, and certainly our nation and certainly our state. And even the church can be in great spiritual need. Marriages and families fall apart. Young people, when they get older, they turn away from the Lord and they walk away from the Lord. Many are living in carnality and have no heart whatsoever for God. That's heartbreaking. We need to wake up. God's alarm is ringing. And we really need to wake up and start giving God some of that time every day of our life. I know I've mentioned this, but when I think about it, and I think about it often, that it is said that 20% of young people today don't believe that America had a Christian foundation or a Christian heritage, that I find that very discouraging and very disturbing and very serious. But they don't believe it. In verse 12, he actually says, dress up. Now he said, wake up, but he says, dress up. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And here's where he says, dress up. Let us put on the armor of light. We got to put on the armor of light, man. What is he saying? He's saying, get ready for battle. Get ready for spiritual battle. Wake up, and we don't have forever. And we know from this morning that our time is limited, and we also know that this is our time. Remember, Jesus rebuked, excuse me, nice music, Dave. We appreciate it. Jesus rebuked the religious leaders of his day. That's not your wife, is it? You better probably go get it. Jesus rebuked the religious leaders of his day for being able to anticipate bad weather. Just like you know the signs. Red sky at night. Red sky in the morning. Thunder in the fall. No winter at all. Maybe that's a carpenterism or something. I don't know. I figured some of you would have known that. My heart is breaking. But anyway. But, so Jesus is rebuking them because they could discern the signs of the weather, but not any sense of the time. The great spiritual truth that Messiah was coming, he was standing right before them. And they didn't get it. This is a story I heard from a missionary. He was home from France, I believe, home from Europe somewhere. Anyway, and he said, everybody over in France gets a card now to do all of their financial stuff on it. One card. If they lose the card, it's a very serious thing because everything attached to their finances is on that card. So he said, if you lose the card and the government sees that as a serious thing, they tattoo your number either on your forehead or on one of your forearms. Now that's kind of interesting, wouldn't you say? But he said, so you try not to lose your card. Now you think about how people think of some of that stuff. You know, if we had a cashless society, which those of you that know prophecy know we're heading that way, it would cut out a lot of nonsense. It would cut out a lot of foolishness. It would cut out a lot of crime. What's going on? Dave, give me a call back later so I know what's going on, okay? So it would cut out a lot of that stuff. And so people embrace that stuff. And, oh, look at how good this is. No more under-the-table stuff. We can trace it all. And all that stuff that has to do with hidden crime or, you know, all the nonsense that goes on with drugs and all the things, other things associated with it, that's all going to be done away with because that's all cash, you know. Doesn't that sound good? Europe is moving that way. Just like Daniel said they would 3,000 years ago, and just like the book of Revelation said was going to happen about 2,000 years ago, and we are watching it happen in our time. The church needs to wake up. Don't forget we stand before God. Can you imagine all that we could say is this? Well, Jesus, or Lord, or whatever you're probably going to call him, Lord, all this other stuff got in the way, and I just really didn't have time to serve you. How would you like to stand before God and have to say that? So he says, wake up. You can't get 1 second of your time back. So you redeem the time. Wake up and understand the time. And thirdly, we need to use the time that we have. That's our third command. What is really critical in life? Only what's done for Christ will last. Nothing else in this earth, nothing else really matters but the glory of God. You've heard me preach a whole series on that. Let me ask you something. What is the life plan for you? What do you have for your life's plan? Well, you young people that all you sang tonight, 7 of them over there are all related to me. But anyway, I got counting them up. I've never done that before. I started counting them. But we try to keep them by family, so it makes it easier that way. But what is your plan, young guys? Say, well, I hope I can graduate from high school. Your parents hope the same thing, by the way. And then maybe I'm going to go off to college, and I think I want to make a lot of money, and I'm going to build this great earthly life. Well, okay. What's your plan for ministry? What's your plan for serving God? This is good for all of us. Is he in any part of it? What are you going to do? I think we can measure our love for the Lord by the amount of time that we give him. That's, I think, a fair estimate. If you did not spend any time with God this past week to have your soul refreshed, how do you really think that makes the Lord feel toward you? Is he going to say, boy, they just love me with all of their strength and with all of their heart and they just love me with all that they have? Is that what he would say? What if I never said to my wife one time this week, hi, good morning, good night? What if I never gave her a hug? What if I never cuddled with her? What if I never said I love you? You think, it was like the guy that told his wife when they got married, he says, now I told you I loved you once, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. Okay, how do you think that flies in real life? Okay, that doesn't fly very good. But I think this, I just like to think about, how would that make the Lord feel? You cannot love him without giving him some time. Love of God can be measured by how much time, but also how much quality time we spend with him. You know, every time, a lot of you have probably read, what's that book? The 5 Love Languages. Anyway, I think there's several of them. They all say the same points when it comes to marriage, but they word them a little differently. But every one of them will tell you that a marriage needs quality time. A relationship needs quality time. Not just time. Not like, honey, make my eggs this morning, I got to get going. Okay, thank you, goodbye, I'm out of here. Okay, that's not quality time. Well, to the guy that's eating it, it is quality time, actually. But the wife that's doing all the labor is probably not so quality. I'm talking about real good quality time. Like we are told, give your kids some quality time. Moments when you are at your best, and give it to them. Not a few moments at the end of the day, but at times in the day when you are at your peak performance. How about doing the same philosophy with God? Giving God some of your peak performance time as well. Because that's what I think God wants. Not just a few moments at the end of the day. Give some of that time to God and use it for Him and give God some quality time to where we get to the place where we say, I can't live a day without fellowshipping with Jesus. I can't do it. Now, the Pats sang here tonight, but every day during the week they have a book. It's their devotional book. You know, one of the goals that we try to teach our kids with through Patch is do your devotions every day. Now, I can tell you this, and I don't think this will embarrass Jamie, but Jamie gets up every morning with her Bible in her Patch book, and it's about the first thing she does every day. We don't tell her. I never told my kids growing up, make sure you do your devotions. Make sure you never did that. You can't force somebody to love God. It comes from in here. So she comes down every day, and she's got her Patch book, and she's got her Bible, and very faithfully, very consistently does that. Now, that is a habit that needs to last the rest of a lifetime. That's a habit that I need to have in my lifetime. That's a habit that all of you out there need to have in your lifetime. We need to fellowship with God every single day. You remember, turn to Luke chapter, I think it's chapter 10. I hope it's Luke chapter 10. That's not on top of my notes here, but I'm thinking maybe it's at the bottom of my notes. It's here somewhere. There's a story of Mary and Martha. Mary is the name Martha and Mary combined together. Okay, so it's Mary. But anyway, there's Mary and there's Martha. And Martha was, you know, compassed about with much serving. And by the way, in the church, we need Marthas. But sometimes they get a little over the edge, and so I'll say to them, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about, much busy. Okay, but we need Marthas. But Martha was really, she spent just busy, busy, busy serving. But Mary was at the feet of Jesus. And what she was doing could not be taking away, indicating perhaps that what Martha was doing could be taking away, because it wasn't the best thing. Now we really need to be doing both. We need to be serving, and we also need to be fellowshipping with the Lord. Martha was busy with much serving, many things. And then she got critical. We'll read it here in just a moment. People who are busy for God but don't have the heart of God can get critical, and they can get miserable, and I have met a few. Now look here at Luke chapter 10, and we want to begin reading, I think, in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came unto him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. See, she's critical. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We need to spend time every day fellowshipping with the Lord. We need to use our time wisely. Be busy doing, but you need to be busy fellowshipping with the Lord also. The most important thing in life is our walk with God. Always be true. It is always a time to pray. It's a time always to be reconciled to a brother or a sister who you might be out of fellowship with. It's a time to be cleansed. It's a time to not let sin stack up in your life, and it's time to get right with God now, and it's time to be saved. Paul said, today is the day of salvation. It's time, if you're not saved, for you to get saved. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Do it now. It's never too late to let God be the Lord of your life, in your time and in your talents and in your passions and in your finances as well. Well, I've just blown so much of it. Listen, God's grace is greater than anything you've ever blown. Just say yes to the Lord in all three of those commands. Give it to God. Be a good steward of your time for the glory of the Lord. And in a lot of our lives, all the clutter, I pray a lot on Sunday morning and Sunday night, Lord, get the clutter out of our minds, because I know about all the clutter that's in our minds. We're thinking about this, that, and the other thing, and it's got to go. so we can fellowship with God. All the clutter messes things up. We have to use it. We have to use our time for the glory of God. And so it's time to just give yourself to God. Lord, I give you myself, even including my time, Lord, I give it to you. Let's be obedient to those three commands with our time. Father in heaven, I thank you again for the service this evening. I thank you for some of the results of the service this morning. It was such a blessing. But Lord, that was this morning. And I pray that some people here tonight would just, they would surrender their time to you. They have 1,440 minutes of time just like everybody else. And it is time for them to redeem some of it, to understand the time they're in, and to use it for your glory. And I pray, Lord, they would. I pray that we all would make you the Lord of our time and be good stewards of the time that you have given to us. Thank you for it, and may we use it wisely as we try and endeavor to walk circumspectly in these evil days in which we find ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I appreciate you being here tonight. Once again, young people, thank you for the singing and for the staff of the patch. We appreciate what you did. God bless you.